continues through chapter 18. He tells another parable that's, you know, exclusive to the Gospel of Luke, not mentioned in the other Gospels. But beginning in verse 1, he shares a parable that we often refer to as the parable of the unjust judge and the widow. But beginning in verse 1, Luke records, "Then he spoke a parable to them, that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" Again, let's pray. Lord, we commit this morning's message to you, and Lord, our hearts and our ears speak to us. And Lord, again, we hold up the Pfeiffers before you and Tom, and stand with him, Lord, as we ask that you relieve him, that he wouldn't suffer, and Lord, these final days and his passing would be peaceful. Lord, we ask that you bless Tommy and heal him, and Josephine, and help her, Lord, bless her and the whole family, Lord, as they go through this. We stand with them and hold them up before you and ask that you would comfort them. In Jesus' name, amen. I entitled this morning's message, "A Shot of Encouragement." I think of, you know, going to the doctor, you're kind of low on energy and you get your B12 shot. I never have done that, myself, but I've taken a lot of Zip Fizz and stuff like that. And, you know, I'm a big believer in vitamin C and, you know, B12 and vitamins. But a shot of encouragement, I think, is the designation of how and why Jesus shares this parable. Because, you know, the intent, you know, in verse 1 he says, don't lose heart. Don't get discouraged. That means don't quit. Don't fail. You know, we're so often, when things come against us and we get oppressed or we get, you know, opposition, it's hard. It's hard to keep believing. You know, it's so easy someone, you know, just to lay down, well, forget it then, and to quit. And yet Jesus, you know, he shares the story. He says, don't lose heart. You know, pray. And keep the faith and hold on. Then he tells a parable, kind of giving like a shot of encouragement or amplifying, you know, why. I mean, why we should hold on and how we ought to pray and continue to maintain our faith and to continue forward in this Christian life and to walk after the Spirit and to strive after him. Pray and not lose heart, he says. In the King James, it says not to faint. You know, don't faint. In Galatians, using the same word as lose heart, Paul writes to the Galatians, "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Let's not give up. Let's press on. Let's continue to believe. And, you know, so often we get discouraged and we need a shot of encouragement. I know I do. But he tells this parable, and it's a parable, you know, we refer to as a parable of contrasts, because he used the unjust judge in contrast to God himself. He mentions in verse 2 of the unjust judge his characteristics, that he did not fear God nor regard man. He was a man that had no, you know, faith. He didn't think God existed. He was an atheist. And so many of our judges in our judicial system today, they have no regard of man, nor a regard of God or fear of God, nor regard of man. They have no sanctity of life. You know, they don't care. And how he describes his character, I was reading that he could have been referring to maybe a Roman magistrate, a Roman governing, you know, judicial magistrate who had no regard for the Jew, nor the Jew's God. You know, being there, set up there in Jerusalem, yet having no connection whatsoever to the temple or their worship or their religion. This unjust judge. The parable, the story Jesus tells of this woman, this a widow. In verse 4, he, continuing to, you know, describe this judge, and he would not for a while. This woman came to the judge and pleaded for justice. Vindicate me. Avenge me. And he would not for a while entertain, rule on her behalf. Now, I read, and perhaps this Roman magistrate was waiting for a bribe. As, you know, today so often in our judicial system, you know, you've heard it said the wheels of justice turn slowly. But you slap down a few bucks, you speed it up. In our corrupt judicial system, you get some money, put some bucks together, get a good attorney, and yeah, you'll get a ruling in your favor. But he waited a while before he, you know, ruled on her behalf. Maybe because he didn't care and he was waiting for a bribe because he was so corrupt, moved by bribery. The woman seeking justice, you know, avenge me of my adversary. That word avenge means to vindicate me or protect me from injustice, or bring true justice, or rule justly on my behalf. How often we just want, you know, truth and justice. It's just what's fair. And she wanted that ruling. Just be fair. This is whatever was happening to her isn't explained in detail. But coming to the judge and asking that he would rule, please be just with me. Just protect me by justice. Rule on my behalf. And he would not for a while. And yet, you know, even though Jesus telling his character that he was, you know, he didn't fear God nor regard man, he was, he didn't care about justice, what was fair, he was unjust. And even though it was contrary to his character or his inclinations, he was moved by this woman's persistence. He was moved to rule. He was moved by her pestering, really is what it says. She bugged him. And she bugged him enough where, oh God, this woman's going to continue to trouble me. So I guess I'll have to rule in her favor. You know, hey, sometimes that's good to do. I remember when we, you know, trying to get a good deal with Comcast one time. You know, I would call and the sir, there's nothing I can do. Hung up, called again. Get somebody else. Finally, I'm talking to the supervisor. And finally, they're like, hey, give this guy a good deal. He's pestering us. And yet, Jesus said, you know, because of her pestering, and the judge says, she's troubling me. You know, she's annoying me. I'll rule. I'll make a ruling in her behalf. She sought a just ruling. And he was moved to respond by the woman's persistence. In verse 5, notice, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Her annoying trouble me. And then the word weary in the Greek, it really means give me a black eye. Unless she continues to just come on, she's going to drive me crazy. Thus I'll rule this unjust judge. And Jesus telling the story to make a point. Then in verse 6, notice, he says, then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. Get it. You know, get this parable and the meaning of it. So, you know, we're to receive the shout of encouragement through the instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by this parable, because he, again, it's a parable of contrast. He contrasts this unjust judge and, you know, him being in a position of authority to rule on the woman's behalf, and yet he doesn't regard man, he doesn't care about God, he has no fear of God, he's really corrupt. In the stark contrast with, in verse 7, he says, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he finally find faith on the earth? Contrasting the unjust judge with God and his character. The unjust judge doesn't give a hoot. You know, there's so many people today in this corrupt society that don't care about the sanctity of life, do not regard man. You know, you read, you know, the execution style, murder, the family come in the house, and all these, one story after another. It's disturbing. And yet, the character of God, compared to the character of this unjust judge, he really breaks it down. Shall God, not avenge his own elect who cry day and night to him, though he bears long with him? Now, based upon the difference of who God is in his nature, desiring him to respond in your behalf, the difference of coming to him and asking him. This is what Jesus said, you know, the point of the parable, a shot of encouragement, is don't lose heart. Pray. Continue to believe. Continue to connect. How, you know, based upon who God is, his nature, his character, God is good. He's so good. Look in verse 19. Remember how and Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. God is good. We can know when we come before God, he's good. And he moves according to his goodness. We serve, we worship a good God, a loving God, a caring God. The difference of nature between these two, he's so loving, he's so merciful. Look in verse 13. The story of, you know, the two, the tax collector going in and say, I'm glad I'm not a sinner. I'm so righteous and I'm so good and I'm so happy. And then the publican who, bows his head, he have mercy on me, Lord, for I'm a sinner. And then the next verse implies that God has mercy on him. God is merciful and he moves according to his mercy. God is good and he moves according to his goodness. The difference of the nature of the God who we come before and ask and talk to, he's merciful. That's why I remember these songs, and I used to walk behind this field we had, you know, in the park. It was like a little condominium complex. And I used to go back there and sit behind, you know, up against the pine trees, and I had these headphones on. It was like right when I was coming into the realization that God is here and God will forgive me and God has mercy and I need it. And I remember sitting, then I thought, man, I used to sit by them trees, and, you know, that's where all the dogs used to do their business. I had no clue I was sitting in that. But I would, you know, the realization of his mercy and coming before a merciful God. You know, I was in a terrible place at that time when I repented or came to him out of darkness, but it's the same mercy that I asked for. Have mercy on me, Lord. Is it true? Can you deliver me? Are you here? Do you love me? You know, hey, I got a bad deal through my childhood, and I screwed up a lot. But are you so good, and you care about me? And how he responds, who he is. He's so merciful. He's so gracious. The Bible talks about his loving kindness in the Old Testament, really speaking through the Psalms about how he loves with his unconditional love, how good he is towards us. God cares. The difference in character of this unjust judge. And Jesus tells this story about this unjust judge and this widow needing, you know, justice, and him don't care about nobody or anything, and yet he rules on her behalf. And how much more will God? We come before him because of his love, because of who he is, his nature. We look at him, how he cares. When Jesus was telling, you know, describing who God was, part of the reason Jesus came was to demonstrate who God is, his love, his loving nature. And he, you know, telling the story in Matthew during the Sermon on the Mount there, he says, you know, hey, not a sparrow falls from a tree that God doesn't recognize. And how much more? You know, he knows the hairs of your head. He cares about us. To come before him who loves us, who's merciful, who's gracious, who cares for us. To ask him to move in our behalf. The Bible tells us about his thoughts towards us in Jeremiah. His plans they're good. He has a hope and a future for our... When he looks at us, he has good thoughts. He loves us. And the Bible tells us that his thoughts toward us are more than the sands of the sea. I mean, he's thinking a lot about us. The Bible tells us that not only does he, you know, think about us, but we're the apple of his eye. I love this. In Deuteronomy, I'll read it. You can look it up later. It says he found him in 32:10. He found him in a desert land, and in a wasteland, a howling wilderness, he encircled him. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. How God, you know, speaking of Israel, but suggesting his own, how he loves them. Not only does he care, and he's concerned, and he's gracious and merciful, but the apple of his eye, the focus of his eye. And Zechariah, the Bible tells us about, you know, his being the apple of his eye. And those who touch Israel, or his own, 2:8. For thus says the Lord of hosts, he sent me after glory to the nations which plunder you. For he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. How he loves us. How he's concerned about us. And who he is in his character. He's so merciful and so great. I don't know how many times I've asked him to be gracious towards me, and he's delivered me and merciful to me. It's because of who he is. When you come before him, have mercy on me, as what's his name says, bam, he's merciful to you. And how he's in his character, and Jesus contrasting the two characters, how he cares, how he loves, we're the apple of his eye. And really, through the contrast, God will move and answer and respond and protect. One of them definitions of vengeance, or avenge and vindicate, is to protect me, the protection of his justice. And, you know, that speaks to me more than anything. I think that we live in such a testing time and a wicked time. You know, you watch the news, and it's, maybe I'm a hypocrite, because, you know, it's like violence, you know, in an action packer, it doesn't bother me. But real violence bothers me tremendously. And it's on the upscale. You know, and you watch what's going on around us. It's gut-wrenching. It's disturbing. One story after another. We live in such a, you know, despicable, you know, deplorable decline. It's corrupt. Society is decaying. How much we need His protection. And He will protect us. You know, the shot in the arm of encouragement, knowing who we come before and worship and talk to and pray, His hand upon our life, the protection for from corruption. God will move and answer and respond. The Bible says in verse 7 that it's His own elect. You know, literally, He's talking about the nation Israel. And in verse 7 it says, And shall God not avenge His own elect who cry out day and night to Him, though He bears long with them? His own elect, you know, His own, obviously, directly and literally He's talking about Israel, but suggesting without question His own children, you know, and based upon being His child, you know, in a relationship. The Bible says that, you know, and when we're born again, we become His and His own. We own Him. He owns us. And He cares for us. And it's encouraging to realize He's on our side and He's for us and He blesses. He loves. He encourages His own children. The Bible tells us in Nahum, a verse that relates, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knows those who trust in Him. And His own, and His own in a relationship with Him. I think even when Jesus said, you know, about this parable, hey, don't lose heart, don't get discouraged, don't disconnect, don't quit, don't fail. Stay with it. Stay with the faith. It's going to get hard sometimes. We're going to get opposition. And yet, don't lose heart. Don't get weary. You know, pray. When He said man ought to pray always, I don't think He's talking about, you know, 24 hours a day we're go around and intercede in prayer. Because He didn't. I mean, He, you know, lived life. He was, you know, sharing and He was loving and eating. He enjoyed life, you know, looking at creation. And yet, the point or the objective is to be on speaking terms always. You know, the Bible tells us, pray without ceasing. To be in tune with Him. To be on speaking terms. To be connected in a relationship with Him. Obviously, you know, that denotes you have to be His. You're His child. But to stay in a relationship with Him. Connected to Him. Don't lose heart. Don't fail. Don't quit. Don't give up. Stay connected with Him. Those who rely, turn and trust in Him. To be in tune with Him. The contrast, stark contrast. You know, Jesus shared often this way. Remember when He said, you know, is there a father among you? If he, you know, a son asks him for bread, will he give him a stone? You know, He says, if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If he asks for an egg, will He give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? The stark contrast. You know how this unjust judge, a regular evil man, has affection towards his child. And how much more does our Heavenly Father care and love and give, will move on our behalf and give to us? The response and the answer. Again, literally, talking about the nation Israel, you know, if you were to do a survey among the scholars and theologians, the number one answer on the survey would be Revelation 6:10. And in Revelation, the Bible says that, when He opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they would rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were completed. You know, taking us fast forwarding to the Great Tribulation, and during the Great Tribulation, those who are martyred for their faith, and them during that hard time of the Great Tribulation, you know, the saints here, the Tribulation Saints, we call them, you know, and how they're praying to God, Lord, how come you're letting this go on? Avenge us. You know, the Antichrist having his way, evil on the uprise at, you know, in no greater measure, and how they prayed, and yet, you know, there seems not so much as a delay, but as Jesus says, you know, he says that though he bears long with them, it kind of almost sounds like a contradiction. At the end of verse 7, he says, though he bears long with them, and then in verse 8 he says, though he will answer speedily, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Seems like he's not answering. And yet, he's going to answer speedily. And that's really what the book of Revelation talks about. When the seals start to be opened, God's judgment comes, and it comes instantly. It's not like, you know, he's not going to move. When he starts to move, he's going to move fast, speedily. Now, you know, it seems though he's bearing long, you know, yet, you know, as the tribulation saints were praying, just take these white robes of righteousness and rest a while. He's going to move. And Jesus telling this story about vindication and protection from injustice. And, you know, how it relates to us in this society. Things are getting so bad, and I think foremost how it relates to us. He is going to protect us. He's going to vindicate us and protect us. As he things are going to get bad. Things are getting worse. You know, in our neighborhood, things are getting worse. And how, you know, evil is on the rise, and yet, don't lose heart. Stay connected. Stay connected with him. He'll protect you. His eyes upon you. Keep the faith. I have this little dictionary app on my smartphone. Today's word is palladium. Interesting how it connects. Palladium means anything believed to provide or protect, you know, for safety. When someone puts their trust in something, it's their palladium. How, and the Bible tells us, you know, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but I'll trust in the name of the Lord. And how we're to trust in Him. Things get bad, things are coming apart, it seems like. People are going through things. The Pfeiffers, man, they're going through some trials. And how, you know, it's affecting everyone in the family. And yet, you know, keep the faith. And they are. They're holding on. But he will avenge them speedily. Though he bears with them, he's going to answer suddenly, swiftly. It's interesting how Jesus wraps this up by saying in verse 8, nevertheless, at the end of verse 8, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he finally find faith on the earth? It's interesting how he's, you know, trying to encourage, you know, us to stay connected and don't get discouraged, don't quit, don't fail, stay with it, keep the faith, continue to pray. And nevertheless, he's kind of, you know, given the spin on when he comes back, how many people will be in that position? He's, you know, questioning it. Will he find faith on the earth? Lord, help us, you know, take heed. As he says in verse 6, listen to the unjust judge. Or, you know, got this parable, you know, get this parable. How he's trying to encourage us. and how it is encouraging, you know, to realize who he is and to talk to him and stay connected with him. Let's stand. Yeah, it's kind of like him saying, you know, God will avenge who he is according to his nature. God will do his part. He never fails. You know, if we're faithless, God remains faithful. He's always the same, you know, today, yesterday, and forever. And yet, will we do our part? Will we believe? Will we continue to pray? Will we hang on? Yes, we're going to hang on. We're going to get a shot of encouragement this morning, and that'll carry us through, you know, for a while. We're going to continue to stay connected with him and stay enlightened and continue to be on speaking terms. And when something comes against us, recognize, hey, it's not him. You know, we're in a fight. And we're to stay plugged in, keep the faith, stay strong. Lord, help us. Lord, help us be encouraged and remain, without, as he said, losing heart. Stay encouraged. Let's pray. Father, we do look to you and we thank you. We thank you for your word. And Lord, through this instruction and your story, do minister to our hearts, Lord. Your presence, your spirit, your encouragement, your love, your grace, your mercy. Yes, he shall avenge us. And your protection over our lives. So we trust in you. Lord, help us stay strong and do not lose heart. For we'll reap in due time if we don't weary in doing good. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for your love, and we ask that you keep your hand upon us and help us stay in love with you, Lord, and stay on speaking terms and bring what ails us and what comes against us to you. Talk it out, work it out, roll it off on you, that we remain in you and in your love with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Shot of encouragement from Jesus. I hope you got something out of it. It's kind of a hodgepodge of how I kind of explained it, yet what Jesus designated it to be is for you not to lose heart, to stay strong, stay connected with him, stay on praying terms, speaking terms, and may we. And if we've faltered or failed or wavered, may we be stabilized this morning. May his hand be upon us. And may we be on speaking terms with him. That we bring the things in our life to him. His own. We own him. He'll own us. And live with him. Stay with him. Walk with him. By his Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.